candidacy, transmission, and translation, and we're at a point next Sunday where we're going to start actually getting to the King James Bible itself and where it came from, how it was put together, and some of those subjects. So that's kind of where we're going next Sunday. So there'll be notes next Sunday. Sylvia, are you still okay? I should have probably asked you that privately, but sorry about that. So we'll have notes next Sunday, and we're going to get rolling again with that class. Okay. So throughout the summer, we've had a number of different men that have talked about a lot of different topics, and I've just sort of filled in as there was openings in that calendar. Last week, I wasn't supposed to teach, but somebody had to cancel because of things going on in their family, etc. So what I've been doing this summer when it's been my opportunity to teach is I've been updating people on the research that I did some years back on Codex Sinaiticus and whether or not Codex Sinaiticus was a 19th century forgery. So I'm on the church website right now, and we have this whole section, for those of you that are online, A Tale of Two Constantines Rethinking Codex Sinaiticus, and this goes all the way back to June of 2017. So remember, guys, that have been here, in 2017, that book by David Sorensen came out, Neither Oldest Nor Best, and I read it, and then that touched off a whole series of research that I did, reading basically a ton of books and material that came out. And I talked about this in our Sunday school hour here back in 2017. Then in 2018, I was asked to talk about this. Where to go? I was asked to talk about this at the pastor's conference in Chicago. And I brought, I'm not seeing it. Here it is. I brought two studies there about Codex Sinaiticus or Codex Simonides, understanding how the text of the Reformation was undermined. And then some essays and research came out that was critical of the 19th century forgery view. Most notably, a review of forging of Codex Sinaiticus by Dr. William Cooper against a detailed background of the discovery of the Codex. So that's this essay right here, as well as three others that I left at home because I wasn't planning on talking about them. So then that information was put into my hands in January of 2019. So I kind of pumped the brakes on this topic for a while, for about 2 years, 2.5 years really, because there was enough stuff that was raised in these essays that gave me pause about whether or not things I had said were true or not. And so I wanted to see what developed out there as this topic continued to be studied and looked at. So what prompted me to get into this again this month, in August, most recently, back on August 8th, I did the first research update on what color is the parchment. Then I did another one on August 15th on Is Simonides Trustworthy? I did one last Sunday on conspiracies, Uspensky, and an earthquake. And then I'm going to do a fourth one today talking about a few other issues related to this, okay? So if I'm looking at my audience, I see a lot of people that are probably like, what in the world is he talking about? I don't know how familiar some of you are with this, but this is a very sort of hot button issue right now within sort of the pro-King James movement, if I could say it that way, on whether or not Codex Sinaiticus is a 19th century forgery. So I'd read some stuff that made me think it may have been back a number of years ago. Then I'm like, maybe it's not, pump the brakes on it. What prompted me last month to start talking about this was the release of a book by David Daniels from Chick Publications entitled Who Faked the World's Oldest Bible, or something along those lines. And I read the book hoping that Daniels was going to address some of the issues that were raised by Kevin McGrain and others related to it not being a 19th century forgery, but just a corrupt old manuscript or old document. And so I was a little disappointed that more of that wasn't covered in the book. In fact, it wasn't really touched on at all. And so after reading that book, I'm like, you know, I should probably really update people on kind of where I'm at with this issue. Okay. So let me be clear again. I've tried to be clear about this in all three of the previous studies I did last month and today. It doesn't matter to me whether Codex Sinaiticus is a 19th century forgery or an old corruption. I don't accept it as a viable witness to the reliability of the New Testament text. Whether it's new or old, I reject it, okay, because of the its contents, the nature of its readings when compared against the preserved text or the traditional text. So it doesn't matter to me if it's an old, corrupt document or if it's a modern forgery, and it never has, and I've said that way back when I first talked about this in June of 2017. So in the three studies that we did last month, first of all, again, I talked about the parchment color. We went over a bunch of stuff about that. Then I talked about whether or not Simonides is trustworthy. Then we looked last Sunday at conspiracies, Uspensky, and an earthquake. And this morning what I want to do is I'm going to continue following some of the issues that are raised by Kevin McGrane. And I want to talk about three more things briefly. I want to talk first about Kalanikos, which I'll explain here in a second. I want to talk about the Shepherd of Hermas, which is found in Codex Sinaiticus, and then I also want to talk about the Epistle of Barnabas. All right, so we're going to talk about those three things,